Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The USFL Gambling Podcast Week 7 Reaction Show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Yes, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. And remember, as always, folks, to let it ride.
Football is a unique American experience. A game described by one turn of the century critic as crude and barbaric, with little chance of survival. But survive it did.
I don't give a damn who you are. This America, Jack. You know how to play Wayne Cardinals football? Apparently, I don't get it.
Being played in the United States Football League.
Let's go!
Spring football is going to work in America.
You play to win the game.
Now it is time for our USFL report.
Boom, and we are back on the USFL Gambling Podcast. Oh, wow. I mean, just a loaded slate of games just happened. This is the reaction show for week 7. And by chance, you know, maybe you're a newcomer getting into the United States Football League. Well, we welcome you, and maybe you're wondering just who the hell you're listening to. Well, my name is Colby Swiggin' Dan DeBase, Dan, a.k.a. Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
I smoke and I drink and I don't have stress and I'm healthy.
And you're nothing but a chameleon, lemon-headed, coward, terrorist pussy. And I'm after you, buddy. You're going to pay for it. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Patty C. Oh, no. Let me give you a proper introduction. But what are you doing? I hear a little bit. Turn the volume down on that thing. I hear something.
I don't know. What are you hearing?
I don't know. Maybe turn the volume down a little bit. I feel like you're a little loud. A little loud. Coming a little hot. But anyway, folks.
Might be these gangsters outside of my window pumping the...
Pumping the United States football theme song? They've been known to that. Hey, let's be honest. That San Antonio Gunslinger song really bangs. We are joined by my co-host. Give it up for former JMU Duke defensive back. The burrito eating, sideline kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, Patty C in the place to be.
Hi-oh.
There we go, buddy. Another week of solid USFL action. And, you know, I did hit on my dog, so we'll talk more about it in a second here. But before we get to recapping all that action, I want to tell you that the USFL Gamblehead Podcast is brought to you by Edge Boost. This episode is supported by Edge Boost, and Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can, be extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll, baby. Get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. Double down on a favorite bet you like, or even use, to create, an awesome middle, or perhaps a hedge. Gross. That's disgusting. Don't hedge. Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark, as they charge zero interest, baby. So support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem with gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right. We are back on the USFL Gambling Podcast. Patty C, I'm still getting like some type of static or something when between going back and forth on this thing. I don't know.
Is,
but like a whisk, like a I don't know. But we have a problem.
Oh, you know what?
What's that?
Give me 1 minute. I'll be okay. Right back. I'm going to do this for the kids.
Yes, there we go, folks. And folks, subscribe to the USFL Gambling. We are on YouTube. You can watch our fuck-ups like this on YouTube. And look, I mean, this was an awesome week of action because you had really all four games decided by 6 points or less. All four games decided by 6 points or less. It was just an absolutely fantastic week, and I think if you're a fan of the league, you should be thrilled with what occurred here. So Patty C, fixing his problems here, but yes, let's start off with just a fantastic game that was a repeat. That sounds a lot better. It sounds like a repeat this was a repeat from a year ago, the Birmingham Stallions and the New Orleans Breakers. Remember, this was the South Division Championship, essentially to play in the Freedom Cup a year ago. The Birmingham Stallions won 24-20, Patty C. Did you get eyes on this game? Because this game was pretty exciting. I mean, it came down. I feel like Birmingham was always in control. But big
third
quarter.
I don't know
if
I agree with that. I mean, maybe had a slight lead. I mean, for a while there, they were in more control. But I feel like New Orleans was within striking distance most of the time.
True, but I'm still saying from 12 minutes on in the first quarter until they never trailed after that. Yeah. They were down 3-0 on the first drive. But after that, they never trailed the rest of the game. That is my point. And look, they had it up to, I mean, what was it going into the fourth? I believe it was 24-9. So,
that is a decent amount of control there.
And I mean, the Breakers scored 11 in the fourth, made it a game. And, but
I mean, you look at what happened here. The Stallions, Alex Mago, another solid game, 16 of 23, 70% completion percentage, one touchdown, zero interceptions. That's the big thing to me. He also had 22 yards on the ground and another rushing score. But CJ Marable, who we played in DFS, and I know you cashed in on a DFS lineup.
Largely thanks to Marable.
86 yards rushing. Also the leading receiver for the team, 6 for 52. Still didn't get in the end zone, which has been a problem of the past 4 weeks for Marable. But Patty C, are the Birmingham Stallions the best team in the league?
I think you have to say so. I mean, I think without any, I mean, we just saw the two best quarterbacks in the league play today. McLeod Bethel Thompson, 42 attempts, you know, but only 57% passing. 279 is a nice output, but an interception, whereas Mago not only got it done with his arm, but he got it done with his feet, got a rushing touchdown for the team, 70% passing. I think they're versatile, and I think Mago is going to be the difference maker in the playoffs.
Yeah, and if you were to pull up, you know, obviously the Breakers are tied with the Showboats, but the Showboats have the tiebreaker. So right now, if the playoffs started, the Breakers would not be in. It would be the Showboats and the Stallions. Stallions would be the one seed. The Showboats would be the two seed. But what an exciting game that is, and it's going to be – look, everyone in the South, so the Stallions are 5-2, Showboats 4-3, Breakers 4-3, Gamblers 4-3. It's going to make for a very exciting final couple weeks. And then in the North, you have the Philadelphia Stars 4-3, the Panthers 3-4, the Generals 2-5, the Maulers 2-5. We're going to talk all about what occurred this weekend. But, yeah, I mean, look, I covered the 3.5 with Birmingham. It became more of a sweat than I thought. The over did not hit. I thought the over would hit on this game. It did not. So I lost there, but I covered on the 3.5. And then we had the nightcap on Saturday, the Philadelphia Stars, the Pittsburgh Maulers. Oh boy. I know we were both on the Maulers here. The Maulers were up 24-20 at halftime. And yeah. I felt good about this. The opening kick to the second half, they took back like 70 yards or 60 yards. I think
they
was.
Got into and, the on the opposing 40.
Yeah, honestly. I think it was the opposing 40, but he fumbles. The Stars get the ball, and I feel like all of the momentum, because had he not fumbled as he was going to the ground, you're already practically in field goal range. You got a lead, a 4-point lead. So if you, even if you don't get a touchdown and you kick a field goal there, you're going to have a 7-point lead kicking off to the Stallions, but I'm sorry, not the Stallions, the Stars. But the Stars, not only did they force the fumble, they recovered it, and they also took it forward about 20, 30 yards. So that really set them up for the second half boost, as they scored 7 in the third to take a 27-24 lead.
Well, was that then, a blown coverage that was one of those touchdowns in the second half?
Yep.
Guys slipped in coverage.
Yep, and that was like a 40. I feel like that was, how long was that thing? That thing was a pretty long touchdown. 40, I think it was like 40 touchdown. The Stars, Patty C, and that was the Corey Coleman, the former Cleveland Brown, I think first round pick, if memory serves me correct, out of Baylor. Yeah, he had it was 56 yard touchdown. Case Cookus, and all of a sudden the Stars are pretty much like a lock heading into week 8. I mean, I know technically they haven't clinched yet. But it almost is hard to believe that they'd be able, if they win this week, I think they've clinched a playoff spot. So the Stars, you know, and they do play Birmingham this week, but out of nowhere, Bart Andrews showing he's the god at coaching all these spring leagues, the Ottawa GGs, all these other, you know, high school football in Canada, all this other shit. And out of nowhere, the Stars are in first place. And are you buying into the Stars?
Finding a way, despite having a negative 28 point differential on the season. No, I'm not buying into the Stars. Three straight wins, and they've managed to get it done with miracles pretty much every time. How is it possible that the entire South is demonstratively better than the entire North?
Well, I can make a couple points, but look, we were wrong. We took the Maulers. I was at a pick. I also took the under, which didn't hit. That was the first Maulers under that got cooked. What's that?
We should be slapped for taking the Maulers at this point, because they really don't have any offense. It's really pathetic. Once again, the quarterback, the leading rusher, 11 attempts by Trey Williams. The next leading rusher in terms of carries was Garrett Groshek, the fullback, with four. He had 5 yards on 4 carries.
Why do they not run Madre London? I don't understand it.
Three
I know
rushes
the
for London. Yeah. Hey, look, 8.7 yards per rush.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Feed the man the rock. Leading receiver is another fullback, Stokey. Oh, I guess, yeah, in terms of yardage. They have no offensive approach. You know, they had essentially 2 kick returns for touchdowns.
They could have won this game, though, dude. I feel like they let them off the hook. I feel like they were the better team in the first half. Philly made better adjustments. The busted coverage cost them. I feel like, though, this is one they look back on and say, we could have won this game.
I agree. I just think offensively they are so inept, you know, so anemic that you can't really, you know, rely on this team to ever win a game. And they lose more often than not because even though they are like, I mean, they remind me of like the 90s Virginia Tech special teams, you know, always making plays. I don't know. Maybe they're less about kick blocks and more about kick returns. But Henny's dynamic, the guy Simmons, who almost took 2 back, is dynamic, but they play good defense. What is it, Kavaya Tizino, 14 tackles.
Yeah,
you know, so they're gonna do what they do on the special teams and defense side of the ball.
But you know what? You know what hurts them is like they had a wide open. I want to say it might have been Groshek. I'm trying to remember who it was. That Troy Williams, they're in field goal range, or they're like 5 yards out of field goal range. He hits the running back in the hands. It bounces right off his hands into the corner's hands.
Oh, that was tough.
And like plays like that are the Pittsburgh Maulers to me.
Yeah.
That defines their whole season to me.
Well, that's what you get when you're targeting your fullback again over the middle. You know, a fullback slant cannot be like the basis of your passing game.
What should we do? It's a tough play. Let's go back to the bread and butter, the fullback slant, baby. Look, not since Mike Rozier. That's their identity since Mike Rozier. Look, folks, before we get to Sunday's action, I want to tell you that the USFL Gambling Podcast is brought to you by the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals contest that we have here at SGPN. Yes, we've got 2 more free contests for you for the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals for you to enter. You can enter exclusively on the SGPN app. That's an app that's free to download. We're not trying to steal money from you or anything. So go out there. It's free to download in the App Store and Google Play Store. And there's series props and game props. $100 SGPN gift card up for grabs for each contest, not just total. Each contest, download the SGPN app and enter today. And look, I know my edge boost play of the week last week was the Maulers, and I'm dying hard on that. I think I'm going to bounce off of that this week, but we'll get to the edge boost double down play of the day. Remember that edge boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Patty C, let's jump on over to talk about Sunday's action because whoo, I don't know how the showboats keep doing it. I don't know how. Look, that tackling down the stretch of that game was, look, the Gamblers, Mark Thompson, great play call. The Gamblers battle back. They were, and credit to Carnell Lake. He really bottled up Thompson in the first half and pretty much for the whole game, but
yeah, right to the end there.
Yeah. The Gamblers did a great, I thought they noticed they're in man coverage. They do a draw on a critical 3rd and 10 where they could have sent the game to overtime with the field goal. Mark Thompson gets like a 21 yard touchdown run. I feel like if I'm going off memory.
Thereabouts. Yeah.
And then you're thinking the Gamblers are going to run away with this because their defense has been good in the second half. And then just a simple pass play, terrible tackling, the cornerback, terrible positioning. He got himself out of position on the play. And then Derek Dillon just takes it for 80 yards. This is like a 10 yard pass that he just takes for 80 yards. Really kind of, you know, a hitch. I was dumbfounded at that. And the Memphis Showboats, that was their only, in my opinion, like their only real successful offensive play in the second half. I know they got a field goal, but that was because of the Gamblers. I believe they turned it over. So Cole Kelly, 12 of 24, 50% completion percentage, 146 yards. Now I was surprised they did have more success on the ground than I thought they would when they had, they had 126 yards rushing as a team.
White with 81 yards rushing.
Well, and 4.3 yards a carry is very good for the Showboats. They don't normally get that. Yeah, but at the same time, I thought the Gamblers made great adjustments. First half, like, Memphis was actually moving the ball on them. Second half, I thought they could kind of put the kibosh on them, with the exception of the 80-yard play. And unfortunately, that cost them. And I'm still a bit like Carnell Lake is not being talked about enough for the defensive job that he's done. I am 100% on board with the Showboats defense.
Well, I mean, the two critical interceptions. And once again, that is the problem for the Gamblers with Bahar. Not that, you know, either one is particularly his fault. One, the ball was batted up, and, you know, Showboats.
But that was a story all game. That Showboats D-line kept batting down passes. You look at Bahar, 18 of 39, I feel like 10 of those were like batted balls.
Well, who's that defensive lineman they have? Is it Atkins? What's his name?
Yeah, Atkins.
John Atkins. He is an NFL defense. He had 2 sacks, 12 tackles at the nose tackle position. Oh no, that's on the season, rather. 4 tackles this game.
He had 2 sacks. He had 2 sacks.
He did have 2 sacks.
5 pass deflections by him alone.
Jeez.
And guess how many they had as a team? They had as a team 12 pass deflections. Jeez. That's how they won the game. I'm telling you, the Showboats offense is trash, but Carnell Lake is making this team very good, because if the Showboats do not turn the ball over, which they almost turned the ball over because Cole Kelly fumbled on a blitz package where he never noticed the blitzer, they almost lost the game because of that. If they don't turn the ball over, this team can go far, because I believe in this defense.
Yeah, 100%. They have a good defense and they have a great running back. I mean, obviously, the Showboats committed to stopping Thompson. He only had 13 carries. Bahar, in the meantime, 39 pass attempts, 46% completion percentage with 2 interceptions and 12 passes batted down. You kind of have to put it on Bahar. Like,
I mean, honestly, he was too short. That was a common theme in that. If you take away those deflections, he's 18 of 27, right? Those deflections happened at the line of scrimmage, folks. They were not I was dumbfounded as how many times I'm like, man, this guy's got, he's too, it's like the Doug Flutie syndrome there. I was like, he needs to go outside of the pocket.
Yeah.
To complete a pass.
Yeah.
Either way, I still thought the Gamblers had that game I shouldn't say that, because the Showboats were up majority of the game, but I felt like the adjustments the Gamblers made the Showboats offense really struggle in the second half, and to give it up in that way, where they have that great play call. I thought that was an unbelievably great play call in the draw. Mm-hmm. And they're in a spot to steal the win there. They're still to steal the win. And then they give up an 80 yard play on some bullshit, but hey, shout out to the Showboats. Do you find it ironic that right now the 3 teams with the home field are in the playoffs out of the 4?
It's
the fourth one is in Canton, but anyway,
for an advantage that is not supposed to mean anything, you know, supposedly it's interesting, you know, placebo effect. Who knows?
But you see my concerns with the offensive side of the ball and the Showboats. Like, I don't know how they keep doing this.
Yes, I do see your concerns. I think they're the South's version of the Stars. You know, they kind of just find a way to get it done.
And Todd Haley, look, he's in the playoffs right now. He's got his own radio show in Memphis. Let's go.
Toast to the town, Todd Haley.
You saw, I saw there was a bunch of XFL layoffs today, and you wonder. I think they fired over 30 people. Now, some of that was marketing, I think, marketing, which I thought they did a bad job of doing. I thought the USFL had them beat there. But you wonder about that. I also saw this, I mean, out of this next game, this was my money line play. 6.5-point dogs. The Michigan Panthers take down Kyle LaLetta Cheese, who got the start, but then DeAndre Johnson came in and actually threw a touchdown. Looked all right.
He looked all right.
Yeah, he looked all right. Great. Yeah, but he's injured. And actually, the Panthers, who for some reason haven't played Eric Berriere this year, they cut him. And I just saw the general signed him, which could be something, because whatever happened to Dakota Pro Cup, I don't understand LaLetta playing. It doesn't make any sense to me. I have problems with buying into that team, which I think is so talented at so many spots. It just, you know who this reminds me of is like the Portland Trailblazers in the late 90s when they were just loaded with talent And you're just like, why can they not be better? Now, I understand some of that was David Stern fixing the league, but certain teams where they're just loaded, the Oilers, the Houston Oilers in the mid-90s or early 90s, I thought were like, hey, this is a team that's really loaded. For some reason or another, they can't. But sometimes I think you got to get out of your own way. And I think Mike Riley, as much as I'm a Mike Riley guy, I've been a fan of his for a long time, but I think he's overthinking this. Well, now, and with DeAndre Johnson's injury, which I'm still unsure, I don't know what he's got to deal with, but I just tell you that it can't be Kyle LaLetta. It can't. You're not going to win.
But I'll say this. If your quarterbacks, you know, combined for the game are completing 60% of your passes with three touchdowns and zero interceptions, I think you take that. I mean, 60% is nothing special. What do you think, like, an acceptable average completion percentage in the USFL should be for your quarterback play?
63? I feel like it's getting better this year. I don't have the stats to back it up. I feel like it's better this year than last year. But, buddy, you still, I just can't, buy in. What are they doing wrong? Something is wrong. And when I watch it and I see Trey Williams and I see Darius Victor and I see Alonzo Moore, and I see Eccles Looper, I see a team that I think is talented. Yeah. I see a team that's talented. And for some reason they're getting in front, they're getting in their own way. Like, I actually think this is the best roster in the North. I really believe.
Offensively, I agree. I don't know, you know,
their defense has been solid this year. I feel like
they're getting smoked.
I don't know. I don't understand how they're not doing it to me. And maybe it's the fact they keep going from different quarterback to different quarterback and the tempo is off. But something does not look the part, and that's why I took the Michigan Panthers. They won on the money line. They were my dog of the week. And
Let's be honest. I mean, it's still football. You know, quarterback is always going to be very important. And while LaLetta is serviceable, if probably below average, Johnson, you know, if he's not getting it done, he only had 9 rushing yards this game, 4 rushes, 9 yards. As a passer, he's kind of mediocre, you know, as well. So they have poor quarterback play. And what have their losses been by that? That's what I need to take a look. Are they losing close most of the time?
Close. Look, but it's been a turnover here or there. I don't believe
they haven't lost by more than 6 points in the last 4 games.
They didn't need to bench him. Like that, like, I get it. The offense wasn't as prolific without Luis Perez and Kevontae Turpin and you know, Garrett McGinn, who was a solid offensive lineman from a year ago. But at the same time, like, they were all there. The turnovers, Darius Victor had 3 fumbles in 2 weeks ago in that game. Other games, you know, DeAndre Johnson scored. They didn't rule it a score. I thought that was a critical play. They've been right there. I don't think they needed this abrupt change to the offense. I thought Prokop and Johnson were the answer. I think Riley was overthinking it. Even if LaLetta did play good statistically, you know, 2 touchdowns, didn't turn the ball over. Didn't he get a strip sack? I think he might have fumbled.
I mean, you just watch. I mean, yeah, I guess 56% isn't good statistically, but 2 touchdowns and no picks, you'll take that for sure. But you just watch him, and it's just like, it's not crisp. It's not terrible, but it's not. They're not Dyson Michigan up.
Let me ask you this: they have the most. Do you think they have the most talented roster in the North?
From an offensive standpoint, let's see who else would he.
You get the Panthers. Panthers
were better. That wide receiver for the Panthers might be better.
Joe Walker.
Yeah, Walker.
Walker's- yeah, but he was there last year. He was good last year. He played quarterback at Delaware back in the day. I remember watching him. But, like, Walker pops off screen. Reggie Corbin's solid. But Love has been an issue. And I still feel like they don't have the depth.
Colburn looked better for the Stars this week, you know, and we think he's good. And Cookus is solid. But I think when you really think about all the players that they have, all the playmakers, without a doubt, offensively, they are the best, you know, offense in the North. The Maulers are clearly the best.
Coming into this week, the Generals had the number 1 rated defense. So,
their point differential on the season is dead even, 128 and 128, and yet they're 2-5. That tells you that they're always just a play away. Maybe they got the bad luck
you know, poison this year.
Well, let's talk about the Michigan Panthers, because they're undefeated on the road. They're 3-0 on the road. They're winless at that terrible stadium.
Get out of the dome.
That absolute terrible stadium, that Ford Field, that no football game should ever be played, if you ask me.
You know, the USFL football gods are speaking, you know, to us and to Michigan, saying get out of that dome. Get onto that gray field at Eastern Michigan.
I know. That's or Central. Go either any of those. But we love the Eastern Michigan Stadium. But even if not that, there's got to be an MLS team. Play at the fucking Detroit Tiger Stadium. It would be better than Ford Field.
Man, that'd be beautiful.
Yeah, let's go. But Josh Love had a good game. 3 touchdowns, 0 turnovers. Look, if this guy does not turn the ball over in the red zone, the offense has never been the problem as far as moving for yardage. Like, they've been able to get first downs, move the chains. The problem has been red zone turnovers, specifically red zone turnovers, but also turnovers in general. There's a strip sacks, I feel like, that go back to the house. I kind of buy into this roster, though. Joe Walker, 5 for 121. Remember, I said this former quarterback at Delaware, Trey Quinn, had 3 for 61 and a touchdown. He also threw for a 19-yard pass.
He's a stud.
A former Washington Redskin, buddy. And, I think they're
Corbin back on track with 78 rushing yards.
Yeah, and I like Stevie Scott too, the backup. They have a solid 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Look, I think this team's pretty good if they can just not turn the ball over. If they can take a page from our boy Todd Haley and Carnell Lake and say, hey, don't turn the ball over, we're gonna win a lot of games. And that's true. I feel like in this league, the team that turns the ball over at least is probably gonna win, or at least be in the playoffs.
Yep.
How do you see? True. Okay, I know we're gonna save our power rankings for Thursday's episode with NC Nick.
Mm-hmm.
But what game next week jumps out to you? Look, we got Houston. First off, I alluded to the race in the South, which is just heating up, but also every team is still in this. I mean, yes, the Stars have a 2-game lead on the Generals and Maulers, so that's the big advantage. But if the Generals or Maulers, or they're just 1 game out of the playoffs, and then in the South, everyone's alive. I mean, really, all 8 teams are very much alive. This did not happen in the XFL. So this is interesting as we head into week 8. Week 8 on Saturday, and I'm not going to talk about the lines yet. We'll talk about that on Thursday. But Gamblers are in Canton, Ohio, taking on the Pittsburgh Maulers, which I find to be an interesting game because I think the Maulers will be able to neutralize that rushing attack. Can Bahar find a way to beat you in the air? That game's appealing. And can the Pittsburgh Maulers move the ball at all against a decent Generals defense? Or Gamblers defense, I'm sorry.
That game's going to be an absolute slugfest.
Yeah, that's going to be on USA Network at 9 a.m. Then at noon, that's Pacific time. Then at noon Pacific, you get the Philadelphia Stars at the Birmingham Stallions. Now, here's why this one's interesting to me. The Stars just got themselves a 2-game lead, but they're playing the best team in the league, I think we all think. So if they lose and some of these other teams in the North win, then all of a sudden,
it's the race is back.
The race is back. So, I mean, the Stars have to play the Stallions, and then they play the Generals. So the Generals could, if the Generals win this week and take on the Stars next week, they could be back in first place. So
Just like that.
And so I find that game interesting. Which game out of the Saturday slate, Gamblers, Maulers, Star Stallions, are you more excited to watch?
Well, I think you have to say Star Stallions. It's a rematch of the championship game, and they're the respective top teams in their division. So
that is true. Rematch of the Freedom Cup. Yes, you got to make sure you highlight that.
It could be a preview of the Freedom Cup again. You know,
there you go. So, there you go. And then Sunday, you get the Memphis Showboats at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, Canton, Ohio, former home of the Canton Bulldogs, the Memphis Showboats against the New Jersey Generals, right? That's a critical game for the Generals. Like, to me, it's win or go home, pretty much.
Yeah, it is.
Right? And then you have the Michigan Panthers in Pennantrope Stadium in Birmingham, Alabama, taking on the New Orleans Breakers, which should be an interesting game, too. On Sunday afternoon. So
both of those teams fighting for their lives.
All right, because since we can't power rank these as far as teams, let's power rank the games. I think the Freedom Cup is number one. Star Stallions rematch. Agreed. I think is number one for both of us. Number two, I think to me,
this is tough.
The Memphis. I think it's Memphis, New Jersey to me.
I agree. Just because Memphis is such, I mean, they're opposite sides of the coin in terms of lucky team versus unlucky team. But in terms of skill, you know, we leaned on New Jersey over Memphis all year long. So is this the game that shows, you know, and does that, you know, obviously going to have a big impact on both of their seasons, but maybe old Todd Haley just has that it factor.
That shoe. Maybe. And then to me, the third game that I want to see most is probably Michigan and New Orleans, because the playoffs are on the line for both those teams. I understand all four games have the playoffs on the line, but Gamblers Maulers would be the game I want to see last, because I don't think the Maulers are playoff bound, even though I took a future on them a couple weeks ago. Gamblers,
they're probably not, but they both play a compelling brand of football. I mean, they play hard hitting. Both of those defenses just destroy, and that's why the USFL is so great. Really, because receivers going over the middle and getting tattooed is back, you know, and that was such a huge part of what made football great in the early 90s and in the 80s.
Anytime before that, shit, go back to 1930, and that was great about it.
I mean, every time I see it in the USFL, and they just let them play, it reinforces my love for the USFL each and every time.
Agreed, and hopefully Mike Pereira is listening to us, because we enjoy that. We want to see football. I was watching a game the other day. They were replaying the Nebraska National Championship against Florida State in the 90s. And I was watching, and I was like, man, we've really fucked up football. You know what I mean? Like, we've really, like, it was a lot better. Now, glad to see the USFL kind of pushing back against that, because when I watch sometimes the NFL or the XFL, I see these ridiculous calls, and I just, in college, it's just not as good as it was. So hopefully we could push back and fight the good fight. Folks, subscribe to the USFL Gambling Podcast this Thursday night. Me, Patty C, NT Nick will be picking winners, picking DFS lineups. We've hit for DFS lineups before in the past. Patty C, we hit some for some cash last week.
Boom. Two weeks in a row, baby.
Yeah, and I finished first in the fucking all the land a year ago, and I'll hang on to that stat. Folks. Subscribe to the USFL Gambling Podcast. We also host the College Football Experience as we get ready to preview, like we do every summer, all 133 teams with a solo podcast for each and every team in the land. So subscribe and tell a friend. You can give us a follow on Twitter at USFL Gambling. Patty C is on Twitter at PattyC831. I'm on Twitter at TheColbyD. Remember, we are on YouTube as well. So just go to YouTube.com, type in USFL Gambling, and you will get us. Folks, until Thursday, this is the USFL Gambling Podcast. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here.
We can really ride the shoes.